Welcome to 51st Dates. I'm your host, Jolie Moore. I now know that hindsight is 20/20. This season, I'm going to share that wisdom with you. In every twice-weekly episode, I'm going to highlight one of my postcards from my Take Note, Stories of Narcissistic Abuse project and the unvarnished truth behind them. A lifetime of gaslighting and abuse are the reasons why my 51st Dates experiment was the unmitigated disaster that it was. I think it was kind of funny, a little bit tragic, but still a mess. Join me as I take on the task of finding out if my future self can forgive that person who lived through abuse and came out of the other side, still searching for a crazy, beautiful love story. Ready? Strap in. Let's go. Hi, this is 51st Dates, and I'm your host, Jolie Moore. Let's get to card number 3. Someone I thought of as a friend came to my new apartment only to tell me she thought my furniture arrangement was ugly. She offered to rearrange it to her liking. You know, this is so interesting. I met this woman, she's an author, and I met her through another author. So a friend of mine, who's actually a good friend, was talking about her and saying that she doesn't really get out much and doesn't go to a lot of the meetings, outings, gatherings, and sort of conferences that writers go to, but she's really looking for advice and support within the community. So she introduced us, and we were pretty much acquaintances. I think things changed a little bit when I got divorced. When I was separated, I had a lot of time on my hands. And, you know, most of the people I know, 99% of them are married. So their time commitments to their children and spouses did not change. But I suddenly had a lot of time on my hands because all the statistics show that when you're not in a relationship as a woman, in a heterosexual relationship with a man, you gain like 7 hours a week just not caring for another adult human. So with time on my hands, I was looking to connect with more people. So this author lives near the beach. We would go for walks on the beach. I bike there now, but I was doing a lot more walking back then. And that seemed fine. The relationship was pretty like narrow and limited to like walking on the beach and talking about being writers. It's an isolating and lonely job. So, you know, it's nice to talk to people that are not just virtual. So it was fine. You know, I've been to her apartment because she lives near the beach. So I'd drive over there first and we'd meet, and she's one of those people. We'd have a time to meet. She would never be dressed and ready. And so I'd spend some time at her apartment. And the thing about her apartment is that, and I'm no judgment because people live how they live and I don't have to live with her. So it was always like very messy. She has cats. She has like a couch that only the cats can sit on because either they peed on it or they threw up on it and you couldn't really use it. And so basically when I was at her place, I'd like sit on, I think there's one chair, or I'd sit on the floor, which is fine because I was only going to be there for a few minutes until we got ready to go for a walk. So at some point, she came to the place that I moved to here in West Hollywood. She was doing some work here. And she had a side job, side hustle, and she was doing some work in this area. And she came to my apartment, and I don't even remember what, she just came to stop by, you know, have a quick chat, and then she was going to go home. So she comes in, I show her the apartment. You know, by this point I'd had all the furniture and it was pretty well decorated. And so she came in, I mean, it's not that huge, where I live now. She came in, did a walk around, and she looks at my bookcase, which right now is near, I have a huge fireplace and mantle at one end of the living room, and one side has a lamp and the other side has a bookcase. Because of the huge fireplace and large French windows and a couple of doors, there's not a lot of wall space in the apartment. And I have bookcases on, I'm a writer, I have a lot of books. So I have bookcases on two walls. I have a closed sort of bookcase that's like a, and then an open shelving one. So the open shelving one, I love it. Bought it years ago, still love it. And it's decorated with pictures of my family, pictures with me and my son, some souvenirs from traveling to different places, some stuff from Amsterdam, some stuff from France, stuff from who knows where else. I think some little thing from Ireland, some little knickknacks, as well as books. So it's books, pictures, knickknacks. That's it. And a couple of cameras, because I have a photography hobby, but I don't use all the cameras all the time. And some of the older ones I like to display. So she comes in, she looks at that bookcase and she says, I don't really like the location. I think you should move it. I didn't say anything because I was like, okay, didn't ask for your opinion. I did not ask. I never ask people's opinions. I'm happy with the way things are. If I have questions, I will ask. But generally, I'm not seeking unsolicited opinions. And then I was like, okay, well, it's fine. And she was like, so she was here for a while. I think she ate like a protein bar, went to the bathroom, had a bottle of water, came back. And she was like, okay, well, are you ready to move it? And I was like, what do you mean? I'm not moving anything. She's like, well, I'm here now. We have the manpower. We can move it. I don't even remember where she wanted to move it, because it's not like, maybe she wanted to move it. I have some like an empty vestibule, which I just have a rug in, and I like to use it as a, well, it's just an empty space. I don't need to fill it. And I was like, okay, no. But she like kept insisting. And then I think later she mentioned it and she was like, I just don't like the placement. And I thought, I didn't seek advice from you. I don't understand why you're particularly insistent about this. I've been to your house. I'm not a fan of how you decorate. I can't deal with the messiness. I can't deal with the mismatched furniture. I can't deal with like how you're living. So I'm not out here looking for advice from you. I obviously would never say this to her, but it became a later sort of tenor of the relationship. And she had a lot of opinions about how she thought I should live. And the thing is, I'm not seeking opinions. Like, if I want your advice, I'll ask you about advice for this guy, this book, this life situation. She doesn't have kids, so I probably wouldn't ask her for advice about that. But I'm not seeking that. But she kept insisting on giving me advice about how to live my life. And I was looking at how I was living my life, which I, for all intents and purposes, is fine. I'm not saying it's the best life ever, but it's fine for me. I was looking at how she was living her life, a way which I would never live. And I thought, no. So she's one of those people who they call, I was watching something about this today, who may be like slightly toxic, but not narcissistic. And I really had to back away because I wasn't looking for her to fix my life. And also she brought drama. So she had like a huge traumatic thing happen to her. And as far as I was concerned, it was a thing that happened to her. But she had a dramatic situation. It was pretty awful. It ended in a way that she didn't like, but it did come to an end. And then like a week later, she calls up and she's like, I've got more drama. And I thought, you just got out of this huge mess and you're tying up loose ends and now you have more drama. And I thought to myself, okay, I don't do drama. And when people have drama who say they never want it, they're the common denominator. So learning the lessons of having like this parent and this ex, I and other friends who were sort of a little bit toxic, I realized I needed to back away from those relationships. And this was such a great lesson in learning to back away. And I was thinking about it because I wrote the essay for Substack, which obviously I'll include in the show notes. But I was thinking about it when I was writing the essay. And she reached out to me the other day. Actually, she's blocked mostly on social media. Not blocked. She's one of two people who, when she friended me, like on Facebook or followed me on Instagram or whatever, she followed every person or friended every person that I was friends with, which I thought was odd, but I didn't say anything. So whenever I would comment on the post on social media, which is actually not that often, which is I think why I noticed, she would comment as well. So at some point, I just blocked her. You know, you block people. So because the writing community is pretty small, I just muted her or blocked her, but didn't unfriend her or unfollow her. That said, so her comments come up as restricted. And so I was posting something on Instagram and I looked at the comments and she was like, hey, yada, 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 we should get together. But since she's blocked, she would see all of her comments and herself. Other people would not see her. But I was looking through the restricted comments because you also get reader comments and Instagram especially blocks trolls and like crazy men, which is a good thing. But occasionally I have to go through them because sometimes there's legitimate people trying to reach me and they just get restricted for whatever reason. So I was looking and she was like, we should catch up. And I thought to myself, we haven't talked in a few years and I think we're good. So I will say for all of the chaos that has occurred in my life over the last 40 plus years, I am very happy to be able to erect boundaries and do the slow fade when necessary. Lesson learned. I'm Julie Moore, and this has been 51st Dates, the podcast. If you've enjoyed this podcast, I hope you'll share, rate, and review it on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. It will help others find the crazy, beautiful love stories that I like to share. Also, please hit the subscribe button on your podcast app. If you'd like to know how this project started, my memoir, 51st Dates, is available wherever books are sold. A link is always included in the show notes. I'm also a romance writer. If you want to know more about my books, please visit joliemoore.com for more information. You can also follow me on Instagram, TikTok, and Substack at XO Jolie Moore. The essays accompanying these postcards are available on Substack. You can also follow me on all social media at the same handle, XO Jolie Moore. Thanks for listening, and I'll be in your ears very soon.